Rick, so who created Sabbath day? I want to ask you a question. Do you believe for an instant that Jesus Christ would disobey the Father and sin? No. So was it a sin to heal a man on the Sabbath day? Yes or no?
No.
Who came up with that idea? That's right. Men did. And so what they did was, they created man-made rules. And they said, you break these rules, we're going to kill you. And so Jesus, right here, had to decide that he was going to obey the Father or obey me. Now I'm going to tell you something. We got some Baptist rules that aren't biblical. Didn't come from God. And what I've been doing the last 12 years is teaching the book of how Jesus and the apostles and the people in the book of Acts did evangelism and planted churches. And I'll tell you, what I teach goes against the grain in most of the world today in Baptist life. And I'll tell you, there was one time in Brazil that the leadership there wanted to give me a one-way ticket to Iraq during the Gulf War. Because I want to ask you a question. What does the Bible say that only an ordained minister can do baptisms in the Lord's Supper? Now, where I go in the world, the Baptist world that I live in Latin America and Africa, and you go to Europe and Asia, you might hear stoning. I'm even bringing that subject up. Because you see, what we've created around the world, in many parts of the world, I think it started right here in the United States, or maybe England when they brought it over here, is an elite group called pastors. And we're just one notch above everybody else. But I don't see the Bible saying that. When God called me to be a preacher, he called me to be a servant. And that means getting as low as I can get and serving others.
Amen.
And so what we have in the world today, I'm just talking about the Baptist world out there. I don't know about your world here at Wake Forest. I'm talking about the Baptist world that I live in outside the United States. A lot of the mentality is this. Hey, I went to seminary and I got ordained. And that gives me a kind of an elite status out here. And if you want to baptize, and you want to do the Lord's Supper, and you want to do these kind of things, you go to seminary, and you pay the price, and you get ordained. And what we have is what I call a pastor's labor union. And I've been preaching against that for about 10, 12 years. All over the world. I do it everywhere. Everywhere I go. Mozambique, I go, that's everywhere. It's worldwide in Baptist life. And so what I'm saying is this. If we're going to have a church planting movement and see a mighty moving power of God upon our lives, upon our churches, then we've got to get back to a biblical concept of who we are in Christ and who the laity are and what our role and functions really are. Let me give you an example. I was in Mozambique. Some of you may be from Mozambique. Go to Mozambique, go to the northern part, there's a place called Nampula. We got four factions in Nampula. We had 180 people from the Makua tribe that came into Nampula, and we taught them this whole language in the Portuguese and Makua language. And they went back, and they went to all their villages, planting churches all across northern Mozambique. Now I want to ask you a question. If we don't authorize these lay evangelists to do baptisms and Lord's Supper, who's going to do it? We're going to have hundreds of Baptist churches in Mozambique, people being saved, dying, and going to heaven, and never being baptized, and yet they're called Baptists. Because these four pastors ain't got time. When I was up on the Amazon River, I threw this idea out, and I said, I want to ask you a question. How far is it to the furthest church? I said, 14 days by boat. Takes 14 days to get there, 14 days to get back. I said, 28 days. How many of you pastors are going to go down there and do the Lord's Supper? Going to leave your family, leave your church for 28 days to go do the Lord's Supper down at that church. Not a one of them. Raise your hand. And yet they'll fight you to the nail that we're the only ones that can do this. So what I'm saying is this. Train your people. Prepare them to do the work of, what does it say? Ministry. I mean the ministry. Prepare them to do what I preach and teach all over the world, is that we as pastors and missionaries, we need to train our lay people to do everything we're doing and do it better. And you know what the response is? But if I do that, what am I going to do? I'm not going to have a job anymore. And you know my response to that? Train more lay people. There's plenty of prisons here, plenty of jails, plenty of old folks homes, plenty of nursing homes. There's plenty of places that we can be preaching the gospel that we're not preaching it. And you can't get to as a pastor. And there are many villages and cities around the world we're not going to get to. So what I'm saying is this. The first truth here in this passage of scripture to me is you have got to decide early in your ministry, are you going to obey God or are you going to obey the rules and traditions of men? Well, I can keep on going. I mean, there's a bunch of these things. Where does the Bible say that you can't organize a church if you don't have property? Now, I tell you, I done stepped on about 90% of all the Baptist people in the world outside of the United States right there. Because many Baptists, I'm talking about Baptists, man. I'm not talking about Baptists, Pentecostals, I don't know about them, I know about Baptists. They say, man, you can't organize a church. You can have a congregation out here, but you can't organize a church if it doesn't have property. Here's another one. Where does the Bible say you got to have a church building to have a church?
Amen.
Would you go outside the United States and start preaching that? Why don't you preach it here in the United States? Practice it in the United States. See, where does the Bible teach this stuff? And yet, we have these in our Baptist culture, Baptist traditions, and these concepts are so strong, you go out and start talking like this, and you're going to wind up getting your head cut off. And I'm sure mine's been cut off in more than one country. Everywhere I go, it gets cut off. But I want to tell you, if you will preach the Word of God in love, God will honor you and the stand you take. So what do you say? I tell you, if I was a pastor here in the United States, again, I would train my people to do everything I could do. They could be out there preaching and teaching. And I'd let my lay people be involved in baptisms and Lord's Supper. I'd let them participate in ministry. Go back and read the book of Acts. I read this morning, my devotion. Look, Stephen, was he a preacher or a lady? Philip, was he a preacher, pastor, or ordained pastor or a lady? Who baptized the Apostle Paul? And they say, man, you can't let lay people do baptism. I said, well, my goodness, we've got to discredit Paul's baptism. He's got to get re-baptized again in heaven. Where did we come up with this thing? And yet what I'm telling you is, these are barriers. Big barriers. Because see, what we've got now is a two-class system in Baptist life. Now, I believe in the call to preach. I'm leaving the call to be a missionary, but I understand my call to be a servant in a servant role to equip the saints to do the work. And when you do that, you do like Jesus. You start multiplying yourself and your ministry. And the second point was this. Man, this is going to just clean you out. We'll end on this. Think about it. Now, I got to go. I'm already over time, man. I didn't mean to go over. But I'm going to close this. Think about it. What was the one thing this man could not do? He could walk. He could run. He could talk. He made it even sitting. I don't know. But there was one thing he couldn't do. What was it? Stretch his hand. And what did Jesus say to do? What did he say? First point. He had to decide if he's going to obey the rules and traditions of men or God. And the second one, Jesus asked him to do the one thing that was impossible for him to do. And I'll ask you this. God's calling some of you to the mission field. And he may be calling you to one of the tough places out there in Mongolia or India, or Turkestan, or Kazakhstan, Afghanistan, Turkey, Morocco, and and you say,
I can't do that.
And he says, catch you. Let me do the impossible. And it could be that God's calling you to be some of these hellfire, brimstone, soul-winning street preachers in the harvest fields of Eastern Europe and Southern Africa, I told you about, in Brazil and throughout South America. And you say, I can't do that. He says, stretch your hand out. So you ladies, he might be calling you into what we call social ministry. My wife is a human needs coordinator for all of East and South America. Oh, good. I wish I could tell you about that. We got 8 million street children just in Brazil alone. She started a home for girls, getting these little girls out of prostitution in the home, got a street boys home. We got a bakery training school, training these young people so they can get jobs and graduate in 20 a month. Daycare center, a computerized training center down there. We got a tremendous need now to go into Bahia. You can go in and dig wells in all these cities and have agricultural projects. Unbelievable. Have a tent, give you a big old tent, get these doctors and have medical things and talking about evangelizing city after city, over 100 or something cities just in the interior alone with no Baptist work of any kind. God may be calling somebody to do that kind of thing. And you say, man, I can't do that. And Jesus says, stretch your hand. God's calling up others. They just stay right here in America. It'd be wrong for you to go overseas because God hasn't called you to go there. And what, you remember what I said earlier? You do what God tells you to do. Don't go out of false guilt. Don't go out of need. You go because God's called you. And I'll tell you, you're looking at a guy that puts value on every person and his life and his ministry and where he's serving God regardless of where he is. I never look down on anyone and say, well, where you are is not as important as where he is. I don't do that. I don't believe in that. I got friends that are serving God faithfully on the island of Grenada. I said, man, that's a paradise. You go there and you get below the surface and you'll see how much of a paradise it is. See? And I believe that those people in Grenada are just as valuable to the kingdom of God as a missionary to an unreached people group in Outer Mongolia. That is my belief. You know why? Because God called them there. And God's called you to stay in America and pastor a church here in the United States. You put a high value on your life, on your call, on your spiritual gifts, and never allow anyone devalue you. Because you're serving God where God told you to serve. Let God do it. I can just picture now that guy standing up there in front of all that crowd, and Jesus says, stretch your hand out. The guy says, man, I can't do that. And he reaches down. Inside his heart, and he has a little faith, all of a sudden he begins to do this. He stretches his hand. And Jesus did for him what was impossible. Jesus did impossible for him. And that is what Jesus wants to do in every single one of you. Let's pray.
Father, we thank you for this time where we come and hear and be challenged from somebody who doesn't just talk about it in his office, but who is out there on the streets doing it. Thank you for someone who doesn't just talk with passion, but lives it. Father, I thank you for the untold thousands who come to Christ, not only through his ministry, but through the ministry of those he's equipped. Father, I pray that you would remind us that every need is not a call, but you've called us, everyone. So God, I pray here at the seminary that we would equip students to find you and to know you and to know your heart and to do the impossible, to do God-sized tasks, just as our brother has been doing for all these years now. Father, would you please give us a hunger, a relentless pursuit of knowing you and honoring you and serving you. God, we do pray that we would not be limited by dwarf goals or weak faith, but we would not focus on us and our either our abilities or our inadequacies, but God, we would look to you, who is the author of life. So, Father, would you please use this time today as over the weekend, I pray we take this time and we reflect on it and reflect on our own lives and search our own hearts and say, God, what is it that you brought me here to this place to be about and to, Lord, to serve you to the uttermost. Bless our brother Wade as he serves you and around the world. God, would you raise up a generation of leaders to multiply themselves throughout this world. In Jesus' name, amen.